Good morning and welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Thursday, October 17th. And it's time to continue our conversation. We've been going strong for about a week and a half now, talking about choices in education. And we'll get into that conversation here in just a little bit. We've covered homeschool, and we've covered classical Lutheran education. We've covered Lutheran grade school, high school. Time to talk about public school. We're going to do that here in just a little bit with some friends from some here in St. Louis and some a little bit further outside of St. Louis. We're going to head down to Florida. So we're going to talk with our friends about that. We're going to talk with Dr. Matt Hayner in just a little bit from Eagle College Preparatory School. And then later on in the second segment, we'll talk with Amy Balance from Hillsborough County, Florida. Looking forward to the conversation about public school today. If you want to join the conversation today, you can do so at 314-821-0850 here in St. Louis. Outside of St. Louis, toll-free at 1-800-730-2727. Or you can send your emails with questions or comments to family@kfuo.org. Want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University Wisconsin, for supporting this program. To find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin, go to our website, kfuo.org. Go find the sponsor section there on the website. Click on the CUW logo. That'll take you to their page. You can find out about the great programs they have to offer here in Wisconsin and around the country, including one right here in St. Louis. So go check it out, kfuo.org, and then go look for the sponsor section and click on the CUW logo. Joining us by phone today is Dr. Matt Hayner, and he is involved with a great program, a new program here in St. Louis. It's been going for a while, but he is executive director at Eagle College Preparatory School. Welcome, Dr. Hayner.
Well, thanks for having me on, Andy. How are you doing?
Good to talk with you again. I got to see you a little bit yesterday, but didn't get to catch up with you at the prayer breakfast. So good to get to talk with you a little bit today.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
So tell us a little bit about, I know we want to talk about Eagle College Prep here today and what Eagle College Prep is doing. We've been talking for the last week and a half about choices in education, and choosing an education for your child is, as a parent, I'm sure, a difficult choice sometimes. Sometimes we feel like we have lots of choices. Sometimes we feel like we have only one choice. And Eagle College Prep is something that's kind of new to me. I had heard about it a while back. I know we talked about it on his time a little while back, but we can spend some more time talking about it today. What is Eagle College Preparatory School?
Okay, so Eagle College Prep is a free public charter school in St. Louis, and it exists to develop serving leaders by providing a rigorous college prep learning community. We work together towards the pursuit of academic excellence and character development in a safe and supportive, loving environment. And to sum it up, if you use EAGLE as an acronym, we expect academic greatness with a loving emphasis. That's kind of EAGLE in a nutshell.
So just the name itself is an acronym that reminds you of what your school is about, what you're there to do.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
So as a free public charter school, we seek to serve all the kids in the city. We're located at 3716 Morgan Ford Road, which is the campus of the old St. John's School building. We've renovated that school building and now use it for that purpose of educating the kids in the community. We have about 122 kids enrolled currently. This is our first year. We just opened in August, kindergarten to third grade. And it's just great, you know, walking through the school and seeing the kids learning and laughing and having a great time.
When most of us think about public school, we think about the school down the street that everybody, all the kids in the neighborhood go to. It's run by, it's paid for by taxes. It's basically a government entity. It's a school that it's run by the state or the local authorities. A charter school is a public school, but how is it different than just the street, the school down the street?
Sure. The best way to sum it up is it's autonomy for accountability. So we basically serve as our own district. So there's some flexibility in terms of how we use our curriculum and staff our school and do different things. But at the same time, there's more accountability. Charters are given and are held by independent boards. We have our own independent board. We also have a sponsor, the University of Missouri-Columbia. that helps provide oversight for the school to ensure that we're meeting our goals and that we're serving the kids at appropriate levels to make sure that they get a high-quality education. And if you don't meet those requirements, if you don't perform as we've seen in St. Louis, you know, there is an accountability factor, and schools can be closed. And honestly, that's a good thing from my perspective, because all we want is good schools. That should be the goal of every citizen, every community leader, is how do we bring more good schools to the kids?
And Eagle College Prep here in St. Louis is part of, I guess, a network of schools, part of an organization. Who is behind Eagle College Prep?
Yeah, so I serve as the Regional Executive Director of Educational Enterprises. And Educational Enterprises is a nonprofit organization that is focused on providing a loving world-class education for all kids, to make it accessible and affordable for all children, to inspire and equip and to support serving leaders of our future. That's why the organization exists. The history of the organization goes back to 2002 when a group of leaders in the city of Milwaukee said, we have to have better options for our kids, and they started the Hope Christian Schools. From 47 kids, the Hope Christian Network, through the voucher program, which is another interesting way of using tax dollars to fund education, but it currently exists in Milwaukee. The Hope School went from 47 students in 2002 to now we have three schools, elementary schools that feed into a high school. And the last 2 years, our high school has had 100% of our graduates accepted into college. Now, this is in downtown Milwaukee, 100% free and reduced lunch African-American population. From once they started serving kids in Milwaukee, the organization wanted to serve kids throughout the nation, and of course the voucher program doesn't exist throughout the nation. They went to Phoenix, Arizona through different connections and went to the worst school district of Phoenix. I think Phoenix at the time was fifth in the state for the worst level of education for the kids. Went to the worst district down by South Mountain and started Eagle College Prep, which is a free public charter school, which, as we discussed, we are as well. In 2008, Eagle College Prep opened with 120 kids and now has over 600 kids, and we have an additional Eagle school down there as well in Phoenix, and we're serving over 800 kids down there and outperforming all the other schools in the district in the area. The school down in Phoenix, Eagle College Prep, was one of three finalists for Charter School of the Year out of 539 schools in Arizona. So Arizona is much more progressive in terms of its use of charter schools to meet the educational need of that state. With that success down in Phoenix, leaders in the community here in St. Louis have worked hard over the last 2 years to bring Eagle College Prep to St. Louis, and we're really excited to be able to serve the kids here now as well.
Now, Matt, I know your background wasn't necessarily always probably focused on education as a college prep school. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you got connected with Eagle College Prep.
Sure. I've served as a pastor for over 11 years now. Was out in the St. Charles area in O'Fallon for 6 years, then moved to the city about 5 years ago. As in the city, I served at Messiah Lutheran Church on South Grand, and was a part of a school board of a Lutheran school that, because of financial reasons, had to close. And that's kind of the broader narrative of the city right now. In the 50s, we had over 20 Lutheran schools, and now we have three existing Lutheran schools in the city proper. And the same can be said across the nation and also with the Catholic schools in the city. So confronting that challenge, knowing that the need is so great and all the kids in our community needed a school, over at Messiah, we leased our school building out to a charter school called South City Preparatory Academy, and we started a free after-school program, and I led that endeavor, if you will, called the ARC, and we had the kids come over for free, had Christian mentoring, a healthy snack, and tutoring and so forth in sports. As we were doing that with the wraparound and then the charter school is meeting the educational need, you know, through a free public charter school, educational enterprises came to St. Louis, and again, with the help of a lot of leaders, to serve kids. And knowing the need of our community and the kids in the community, including my own two kids, I got involved with the organization and became the executive director. And for the last year and a half, I've been working to create the first school, and with the team who's assembled, just a great team with Dr. DeZago, with many years of administrative experience in schools. She's our principal, and others, to serve the kids in our community. So my path kind of came from being a pastor and shepherding a community and seeing that the biggest need was education in our community right now. And God just kind of put me in the place to serve at that time and has brought it to this point. And it's amazing to see all that's come about so we can serve kids through education. In addition to Eagle College Prep, Andy, if I might.
Sure.
We also provide a wraparound program, much like the ARC. So it's called Compass Educational Programs. And so before school and after school, the parents have the option that go to Eagle if they'd like to enroll their kids into the Compass program. Again, they get a healthy snack every day. They get breakfast in the morning, a Bible lesson, a little devotion, and then they play sports. We have soccer and volleyball for the YMCA leagues, and we have a great gym to play that in. We'll have basketball as well. And so the kids can grow in many other ways and continue their learning after school at the Compass program. And because it's separate from the charter school, it's a completely separate organization, parents have that option to also meet that faith-based need for their kids as well. That is, having them grow up in the knowledge of the Lord and their Savior Jesus.
So they're getting a quality education. They're also getting that nurture in the Word. So they're kind of getting the best of both worlds, really.
That's the way I see it. I mean, it's a sustainable model for giving them high quality education through Eagle College Prep. The school is designed to make sure that all kids succeed and get to college, and we've demonstrated that in other areas, much like St. Louis. And so we know it's possible. Other schools have done it as well, and it's accessible and affordable for all kids. Private schools, including Lutheran Catholic schools, even with low tuition, sometimes that's enough barrier to keep parents out of those options. And so you have a sustainable educational model that's high quality. And then again, the parents who want that option of Christian education can enroll in our preschool. We also have a preschool on site that's 24 kids fully enrolled this year. And they learn about Jesus in the preschool, again, because it's a separate organization. And then the before and after school care as well.
So presently, you're a K through three school, and with the plans of adding a grade, each year. With that many students, that's got to be quite an undertaking and expensive. Is it costly to operate a school like this?
Well, the school is, because it's a public school, is funded in the same way public schools are funded, a similar way, not at the same level, but through state and federal funding. So that's how the school is funded, along with, philanthropic support for those who are focused on, increasing our capacity to serve kids as we start a new region. We have the ability to expand with the approval of our sponsor to 3 K-8s in a high school eventually. And so that's the ultimate goal, and at least in the south part of the city, to serve kids. For us, success means just opportunity to serve more kids. So the school has a financial model that's sustainable through the funding. The after-school program, again, through startup support through organizations like the Lutheran Foundation of St. Louis, the Missouri District, and other churches in the area through their volunteer support and financial support, has allowed us to make the after-school program, and I shouldn't leave out the significant support that St. John's Lutheran Church gives us, being near their campus and so forth. But through that support, we've been able to keep the tuition very low, so it's accessible and affordable for all kids. And right now it's $50 a month for before and after school care. And that's from after school 3:45 to 6 o'clock. Our goal is to serve kids and to help parents and help the community. And working with partners in the community, we're able to do that and make it accessible, affordable for all kids.
And you say for all kids, is there admission criteria for this charter school?
For the charter school, as long as you're a resident of the city, you're eligible for our school.
So no testing, no academic achievement that's required in order to be admitted.
No. Which, and we believe all children can succeed, so we're open enrollment.
Open enrollment with high expectations for excellent academic achievement and that being in a loving environment. How do you go about creating that, establishing that loving environment when you start using the word love in a public school education? Some people might get a little awkward. Might get a little uncomfortable with that. You know, some might not. Some might think it's perfectly natural. But when you use that term love in a public school setting, what does that mean?
Yeah, that's a good point. And we have found that just going through various processes and so forth, establishing the school. Where it begins is it begins with how you hire your teachers and your staff. And we have teachers who legitimately love these students. That's why they're doing it. They have extremely difficult jobs. They work extremely hard to reach the outcome and help the kids reach the outcome that they're seeking, that is, get to college. It takes a special person with perseverance and character. And so in our hiring process, that's what we look for. You can teach certain skills, but you can't teach the love for the kids. And that's the difference maker. And you see that in our school, just the way teachers care about our kids. I'll use an example. Ms. Ferguson is our special ed teacher. And when we talked about sports, you know, possibly working with the YMCA, I coached a soccer team, but we needed a volunteer for volleyball. And she jumped right in. And she's over there with the girls. She doesn't have to do it. She doesn't get paid to do it, but she does it because she loves the kids. And she's there over at the Y on Saturday and just helping them grow in their character. One of many examples. And, you know, Andy, part of it is just the day-to-day grind that it takes to do a startup school and to do this type of a school and meet the needs that our kids have. It's a constant daily love for the kids that's demonstrated by our faculty and staff.
It takes a loving staff to for that to work. How do you go about finding good teachers like that? It's got to be hard, I'm sure. There are a lot of great teachers out there, but how do you go about that process?
Well, we have a national recruiter, so we're able to cast a pretty wide net. The organization as a whole hired, I think, 99 new employees this last year as we were opening this school and other schools. So Ian McClellan up in Milwaukee is just a rock star in terms of allowing us to do that and to bring in high-quality people. But Andy, what I'm finding is there's a lot of great, loving teachers and educators out there who are ready for this challenge, who are ready to make a difference, and they're tired of the status quo. What's going on in our cities is not just unacceptable in terms of the level of education. It's an injustice, what's happening to these kids. Many of them who are way under grade level in terms of their performance, we find that, you know, kids coming from other schools are below their grade level already. You know, I worked with CFNA, and, you know, I talked to the immigrant students, and they'd rather be in a refugee camp than in some of the public schools because of the safety issues. That's just unacceptable. And what I found is there's so many educators and people out there, you know, through Teach for America and other organizations that are willing to use the skills and abilities that they have to meet that need. And so, you know, through the interview process, you can find that pretty quickly. What drives the person? Is it, mm-hmm. you know, the love of the kids, or is it something else?
Absolutely. What is it that drives them? What leads them to be caring? Which leads me to think that quite often the case might be that your teachers coming from, as a pastor, your teachers may, I'm guessing that that true love for children is going to be found in Jesus and how they know the love of Jesus. Therefore, they're able to love others. Granted, I know that it's not necessarily a Christian school, but I would imagine that quite often the case is that many of the teachers who are so loving also know that love of Jesus.
I think that's in any vocation. You know, I think, you know, sometimes we fall into the false mindset that Christians just do Christian work. Like, mm-hmm. all, you know, Christians are, you know, who care are either pastors or in a Lutheran school. And that's just not the case. We have loving Christians in every field, whether it be in radio or education and whatever, you know, venue or context. You know, in law, in all different fields. And what's neat about this job is I've seen that play out in so many different ways, whether it's philanthropy or, you know, people just using their skills, business owners in the community who care about kids legitimately. And the collaboration that's taking place here in St. Louis is really inspiring. And it's what it takes to take care of kids in the community.
If you mentioned philanthropy, if someone's interested in supporting the Educational Enterprises or Eagle College Prep, how could they find out more? What do they need to do? I'm sure we'll include a link to the website today, but what are some opportunities for people to support?
Yeah, that'd be great. First of all, as you mentioned, you know, our website's eagleprep.org is the school, and it'll also link you to all the other Eagle schools so you can kind of see what's going on in different cities. And then educationalenterprises.org is the national site where you can learn more about our organization and how you can support it. Each site has links for donations as well if you're moved to support us in that way. Otherwise, call the school, set up an appointment to visit and learn more about the school. Eventually our teachers will have wish lists up on our website so you can see what specific needs they have to just enhance the learning environment for our kids. We feel like we got a great learning environment already, but, you know, as a teacher, you're always like, man, you know, I'd love to do this or whatever. So there's avenues like that to support the kids. Just contact me at matt.hainer@educationalenterprises.org. I'd love to have a conversation about that.
If looking at enrollment for the coming year, if someone lives in the St. Louis area, the St. Louis city, and wants to find out about enrollment for their child, how about that? Yeah. Are there openings?
Yeah, we currently have a few openings in our grades. So if you're looking for a school right now, things aren't working out, or if you're looking for a change, you know, they can call the Eagle number. It's 314-664-SOAR. That's 7627. So 314-664-7627. We do have a few spots open for this year. We'll begin enrollment for the next year in January. We get to mid-March and we have more students enrolled than seats. The kids who are here already will have preference. Obviously, their siblings will also have preference. And then after that, we would go into a lottery situation. Because we're a new school, I think, you know, the word's still getting out who we are and, mm-hmm. and how the quality and how we serve kids. But I would encourage anyone who's interested to contact us as soon as possible to get that information, because I fully expect that we'll be surpassing our enrollment numbers next year.
We've been talking with Reverend Dr. Matt Hainer of Eagle College Preparatory School in St. Louis and Educational Enterprises. I want to say thanks, Matt, for joining us today and talking about the great opportunity with public schools and a charter school here in St. Louis and around the country as well. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Andy. Have a good day.
Thanks, you too. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to talk with Amy Bellens, teacher mentor in Hillsborough County, Florida. What is it like to be a Lutheran in public education, and what should parents consider when sending their child to a public school? Stick around for more Faith and Family right here on KFUO.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration and action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Remember Y2K? So-called experts said the sky was falling and nothing happened. Global warming enthusiasts are increasingly finding science doesn't support their theory. And for decades, the overpopulation alarmists said millions of people would starve and the planet would die. The reality is many countries are fighting to increase their dwindling populations. Many countries are in such bad shape they won't be able to take care of their elderly. Abortion in smaller families resulted in them not having enough young people to take care of the elderly in society. Countries best prepared are Sweden, Norway, Germany, and the Netherlands. The U.S. is eighth, and Afghanistan is last. Many countries fear a looming demographic winter. It's true. Babies are our best natural resource.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson, extending a warm invitation for you to join me for Moments of Assurance each weekday from noon to 1 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO. Each day I'll share scriptural encouragement along with practical thoughts, humor, trivia, news items, wonderful Christ-centered songs and hymns. It's a great spiritual recipe for your noontime hour. So join me, won't you? That's Moments of Assurance, underwritten in part by Mid-American Coaches and Children's Christian Concern Society, an LCMS recognized service organization.
Hello, I'm Rod Zwanitzer, Director of Broadcast for KFUO. We totally depend on the gracious supporters who want this gospel voice to continue and expand as the messenger of good news of Christ. A wonderful part of this support is our underwriters, an ever-increasing number, and so we ask you to find out who they are by checking them out on our website or as you hear them here on KFUO. Write, call, or tell them how much you appreciate their support of Worldwide KFUO.
Perhaps you're a regular worshiper at the church of your choice, or maybe it's difficult for you to get to church on Sunday morning. Either way, you'll benefit from our live worship broadcasts each week on KFUO. Our early service begins at 8 o'clock and originates from Blessed Savior Lutheran Church in Florissant, where Reverend Matt Roglin leads worship. Our live late service at 10:45 comes from Timothy Lutheran Church in St. Louis, where Reverend Ron Rall serves as senior pastor. Join us for the message of salvation in Jesus Christ, Sunday mornings on Worldwide KFUO.
Two of America's most prominent Christian leaders are polar opposites on the issue of homosexuality. The dean of Washington National Cathedral says it's not enough for churches to accept and even embrace gays and lesbians. Episcopal minister Gary Hall says,
"The Christian church needs now to say not only that it's okay to be gay or lesbian or bisexual or transgendered, but it's good to be that way because that is the way that God has made you."
Adhering to the traditional view is the Reverend Franklin Graham, who maintains,
"Any type of sexual relationship, heterosexual, homosexual, any kind of those relationships outside of the marriage relationship between a man and woman is a sin."
The son of evangelist Billy Graham says,
"Many people say, well, I believe God and I believe in Jesus, but I want to continue living my lifestyle." No, you come to Christ, you've got to come by the way of repentance.
I'm Steve Coleman.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It's a good day. Talking about choices in education. We've been talking with our friends here in St. Louis. It's time to journey a little bit further south. We're going to head down to the Tampa area. And today we're talking with Amy Balance, teacher mentor in Hillsborough County, Florida. Good morning. Well, I guess it's afternoon there. Good afternoon, Amy. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Andy. Glad I could be with you.
Thanks. And thanks for setting aside some of your time, probably either your lunchtime or prep period or some time to spend some time with us. We appreciate that.
Yes, it's my lunchtime.
Tell us a little bit about your background. I know that you have a background as a classroom teacher, now mostly a mentor. But tell us about that path. I know you've been a guest on Faith and Family before when we drilled you lots of questions about about being a busy parent and a demanding career. So, but for our listeners, just a little bit of background about your profession.
Okay. Well, I have been in public education for about 11 years. So in 2002, I became a classroom teacher, and I graduated from, you know, University of South Florida with a degree in secondary social science education, which basically meant that I was going to be teaching high school social studies. And that's really how I started my career. So I did that job for about 8 years, and over the course of those 8 years, I got to teach all kinds of great classes within the social studies field, but then I got to branch out and teach another class called AVID, where I was working with kids who, to help them be college and career ready, you know, to make sure that they had the opportunity to go to college. That's what I was doing when I had the opportunity to become a mentor. And what I'm doing as a mentor now is I have full release from the classroom so that I can work with first and second year teachers who are brand new to the profession in our district. And I get to work with them each week. For about 2 hours a week, I get to see them, I get to conference with them, I get to be in their classrooms and just really support them through those first 2 years of teaching.
You've really seen a lot of sides of education. I know when we were serving together in youth ministry, I know that you were teaching, I think, AP World History at the time, and
yes.
And just the lengths that you went to teach your students, the trips to when you take trips with the students to Europe to
yes.
study world history. So you're a great teacher. We know that. We know that you're a great teacher. You know a lot about education and what's important in education. And now being a teacher mentor, you get to pass that on to other teachers.
Right.
What is it that parents need to understand about, especially Lutheran parents or Christian parents, as they're sending their children, you know, thinking about choices in education? What do they need to think about when sending their child to a public school? Some may think, you know, public school they may think that that's their only choice, and so they may feel like this is what I have to do. Some may choose to because they have a great school in their area, and they know that the school then in their community has a great program to offer. Some may choose for a variety of reasons. What are some things that they need to think about as sending their child to a public school? What does a teacher want a parent to know?
Oh, that's a brilliantly good question. We should have scheduled many more hours to have this conversation because I think about this a lot, and you're right. I think about it from a lot of different points of view. You know, I can think of it from the classroom teacher's point of view, but I can also think of it from the parent's point of view because now I have a child who's in public education. So, you know, we had to make exactly this decision. There's a Lutheran school in our area, you know, which route were we going to take? Were we going to send him to Lutheran school or were we going to send him to public school? So I'm going to kind of try to talk through my thought process. And there's bias that's embedded all through this. So I'm just going to front load that piece. But you can call me on it and you can ask me lots of questions
sure.
about it.
Okay.
But, so when I think about it, when I think about initially, you know, to make the choice and how we made the choice about public versus private school, you know, especially Lutheran school, you know, here's my big bias about public schools, especially in our area. There are just so many resources available to my kid because he goes to a public school. I think about the amount of training that I receive as a public school teacher, you know, that just unfortunately isn't feasible for a lot of our private schools. You know, they just don't have as much access to being up to date on the current best practices. You know, I think about the big changes that are coming in education with regard to the Common Core, which really in and of itself isn't the focus as much as, you know, the shifts of what it's really going to take for our kids to be competitive in the 21st century in a global society. And I just know from being on this side of the table, from being the teacher side of the table, the amount of extra updates that I've had to have to be prepared for this has been immense. So I just wanted my child to have access to the best that I could possibly give him. And, you know, my child also has some special needs. You know, he's currently in speech class. And I also know that typically in public schools, there's a lot of opportunity for kids to get services when they have exceptionalities. And again, it often comes down to financial considerations. You know, the private schools just not having the same access to resources that public schools get. So there's that piece of it that I think it's important to consider.
Okay.
When I think about, you know, what would I want the parent to know, you know, I get to be a public school teacher, and I absolutely consider that part of my vocation. I think God very specifically called me to be a public school teacher. And why that's important to me is because even though I may not stand in front of my kids and get to talk to them about Lutheran doctrine, can't say Martin Luther because I did a whole unit about Martin Luther because I love it and I'm a world history teacher and I can. But, you know, I might not get to speak doctrine to them very explicitly.
Mm-hmm.
But I think about all the cases that I had where God threw us together,
mm-hmm.
put me in the right place at the right time so that I could listen differently to what kids were saying and find ways to bring grace to them, ways to bring gospel to them, you know, and always just knowing, this is part of my vocation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is me getting to do the work that God has asked me to do, has called me to do. So I think it's interesting sometimes to give that perspective of, you know, there are ways that I could bring my faith into teaching that really met some very important needs for the kids that I was able to serve through those public schools. So I think when I think about it as a parent, you know, it doesn't mean that I check my faith at the door when I walk into school. It just means that I get to look for different opportunities to be able to bring that to the people that I get to serve where God has put me. Now, I think realistically, you know, kids are going to get exposed to a lot of things
mm-hmm.
that they wouldn't hear about if they were going to a parochial school. And we just have to be real about that.
Oh, they're still around children, though.
Yeah.
They're still around peers.
Yeah. Well, even in the curriculum, you know, I always give the example of my husband who went to private school up until 11th grade. You know, he never learned anything about things like Greek mythology. There's so many things where he and I have been talking, and I'm like, well, why didn't you learn that in school? And he's like, well, they didn't teach that in the school that I went to. And I was like, that's so interesting. I will tell you, that was a big factor in how we decided to send our kids to public school. You know, I send my kids into the world, and I don't necessarily feel like I need to shelter them from the world. Instead, I have to rely in faith on the relationship I have with them and what I've taught them so that when they hear these things, that they know to question them, that their ears perk up. And then it's just more opportunity for us to have brilliant conversations about, okay, so you know that this is what the world offers. This is what the world says. Let's talk about what that means to us. So I wanted them to be well-rounded. I wanted them to be exposed to those different points of view and perspectives because in so many cases, I think that it only lends itself to making our faith stronger.
I think you really have found that the key difference, I think, when it comes to choices in education probably the key thing that parents need to consider when choosing a certain type of education for their child, and that is the conversations, what you're teaching your child directly, what you are teaching your child at home
yes.
before they go off to another school or as they're, you know, coming home from school. What are you teaching them, especially when it comes to matters of faith, when it comes to truth? And so that seems to be the key thing that needs to be considered.
Yes.
Is that education?
Just like I don't check my faith at the door when I walk into a public school, I don't expect my kids to check their faith at the door either. Mm-hmm. You know, but I want them to always have that lens and that listening ear so that they have a better way to process what they're hearing when they are in the world.
So even as a kindergartner or as a first grader, mm-hmm. a child is developing a Lutheran worldview or a Christian worldview so that they have this ethos, this perspective on the world that is grounded in truth, even when
Absolutely.
Even when they're in the public setting and hearing all the messages that the world communicates, that the world brings, some that are true and some that are not true.
I 100% believe that. You know, my son, Xander, who is 6, he's in first grade. I am amazed at how he interprets what he hears at school and the conversations we have in the car driving home from daycare, where I can tell he's trying to put what he's hearing in school into the context of what I believe is a very strong foundation of his faith. And he'll ask me questions where I know that he's grappling with that, and I love that I have the opportunity to continue to encourage that in him.
For the parent that doesn't feel like they're adequate to have those conversations, mm-hmm. doesn't feel like they're you know, maybe not teaching their child enough. Any thoughts on that?
You know, well, I know you know my family history, but you know, for the sake of everybody else, you know, my sister and I were just having this conversation. I have an older sister. She's about 7 years older than me. And her children are, they're in middle school and high school. And her middle schooler is just starting confirmation class. And we were just having this conversation about, you know, she doesn't feel equipped. She just doesn't know that she can talk to him about these matters of faith. And it's so interesting to me to hear her say that, because I think that's real. And she, mm-hmm. whether or not I agree with her, it's what she believes. But the truth is that, you know, so much of that, we have to take some comfort in knowing that we don't have to know all of the right answers, that thankfully God's going to provide that, you know, to just tell her, well, that it's okay. That's when you say a prayer. That's when you, you know, look to God and go, I need you to help me raise this child. And it's amazing to me because I look at our high schooler who grew up, and he has such a solid, strong foundation in the faith. Well, she was no different when he was growing up than she is now that she has this middle schooler. And I think it's because she always turned to God in those weaknesses and said, help, mm-hmm. help me. And the help was always provided. Mm-hmm. You know, through, you know, his godparents or through going to church or, you know, it's just amazing. Sometimes we make God too small and we think, oh, he won't get involved here. But in actuality, he's very present and very involved. And her kids, both of her kids, they have rock solid foundations.
Mm-hmm. And I like how you pointed out your family. It's more than just parents that help raise children in the faith. It's the whole family. When you have extended family around, that they can support you in that. So public school can be a fine option for children when considering education. The key is what's happening, what's being taught at home. And I appreciate that you said, since I don't check my faith at the door, I don't expect my child to check his faith at the door when he goes to school either. That
right.
when he walks into a classroom, he's walking into that classroom with that worldview that we've been teaching him at home, so that as he learns there, he's learning in light of everything that we've taught him, that our extended family, that grandma and grandpa are teaching him, that you know, that our congregation is teaching him, so that he is. He's being shaped by the what we're teaching at home.
Yeah. Well, and what an incredible mission field that he goes into. You know, and I've seen this. I was a high school teacher, so I think I saw it a little bit more overtly. But, you know, kids have a beautiful luxury of they don't even have to be as guarded as I do as a classroom teacher. You know, so the opportunity for them to bring that worldview into the classroom, I always loved those moments, little winks from God, mm-hmm. where he's like, well played there, you know, like here was a chance for this kid to say something that maybe I couldn't say, but, you know, that had an opportunity to be able to just plant some seeds in the kids that maybe don't get to hear that message very often.
That's true. You know, the children have a great opportunity to tell the good news about Jesus when, and you're right, they don't have to be as guarded as someone whose job is, you know, to specifically be a teacher,
right,
and a public school teacher. They can bring the good news. That's a great mission field, a great opportunity to bring the good news of Jesus to people that need to hear it as a public school student. So all the more, I would think you would want that child to be so strong and so bold in faith that you're teaching them at home, and that you're making sure that they're getting that opportunity to study God's word, to learn learn the truth of God's word so boldly. Whether that be you teaching them at home, or and that being reinforced in maybe Sunday school or other learning opportunities at church, or getting together with other families and studying and learning that together.
Yeah, definitely.
How important is it to have that support system, extended family, congregation? How important as a parent is it?
You know, for me, I just can't even imagine if I didn't. I work all day long. You know, I'm gone 10 hours a day. So there are certain things that I cannot solely bear the responsibility of providing to my child. But what I'm very conscientious about is creating those opportunities for him to interact with others who will support me in my efforts to build his foundation. Mm-hmm. From the choices we make for after school care, you know, in our area, I have a choice. He could stay at school, at public school, and go to the after school care that's quite a bit cheaper. Or we can send him to after school care at our church. And just those little tiny decisions, you know, while I want him to reap all the benefits of being in public school, you know, looking for other opportunities to kind of feed his spirit,
mm-hmm.
to feed that side. So we do it in after school care. We have lots of car conversations about, you know, about God, but also, you know, using Sunday school and just having a community of friends to network with on the weekends so that I know that he's getting fed that way too. My family absolutely supports us in that. And I just think about how important it is to extend the invitation to my family,
mm-hmm.
and have that clear understanding amongst us that we are all contributing to the spiritual growth of the child. And I think that that's an important conversation to have with your family so that they know that that's a priority for you and that you see them as an extension of raising the child in the faith, but also having that conversation with the friends we choose,
mm-hmm.
so that they can support us in that too.
Right, right. I know in the case of the Balance family that you've chosen wisely, or God's given you good friends, and
yeah.
I know how important they are in that, in the raising of your children. I know that extended family that you have there is just extended family of friends and other families in your congregation to support you in that important vocation of parent. You mentioned something earlier, and we've got a few minutes that I want to go back and touch on, and I hadn't really given this much thought. As a public school teacher, especially teaching world history,
mm-hmm.
you got to teach a unit on Martin Luther.
Absolutely.
Gosh, so much to cover in that. And the exciting thing is, next week here on Faith and Family, actually, we're going to cover Lutheran heritage and Reformation. Looking forward to talking about that, what families can do to help their children learn about the Reformation and early Lutheran settlers who came to North America. But I bet you got to, what were the lessons like? You know, what, how engaging was that conversation? Were students interested in studying about Luther and the Reformation? Because it's more than, obviously for us, there's obviously a spiritual heritage there, but
right.
also there's just so much. It impacted the world and world history so significantly.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. And that is why I absolutely chose to highlight it. You know, it's a smaller portion of the world history curriculum. I mean, world history covers, you know, I always joke, 2 million years of history. So you've got to make choices about what you're going to cover and not cover.
Mm-hmm.
But it is exactly what you said with regard to why I took that moment to highlight Martin Luther and the Reformation as an incredible turning point in world history, how it dramatically changes things from that point forward. you know, I'm lucky in world history. You get to talk. There are opportunities to speak about world religions. So I also got to do a unit about Christianity, because again, it's thinking about these major turning points. Like you said, I have the passion and the faith behind it to bring an additional significance. But if we're just looking at it from the world history point of view, we can't ignore what these different events do to the course of humanity. Mm-hmm. We know all part of God's plan, but, you know, just to see it laid out. So when I got to that piece about the Reformation, it really is kind of bringing back this idea of, okay, where is the world at this point? What's going on in this world? And got to really talk to them about, you know, what was Martin Luther after here? You know, what was his point? Why that point at that moment? We did do some lessons about the Catholic Church and how the Catholic Church had started to change, so we could look at it from, you know, the political and the economic and the social point of view, and then compare that to, you know, so here's what Martin Luther was saying were some important shifts that needed to be made.
95 to be exact.
Yeah, exactly. and then the response to Martin Luther, that was the additional piece that I got to bring into that. You know, just, you know, Martin Luther does it, and yes, it has this impact, it has this change, but what does everybody else do in response to it? And so you see these different churches start to develop and sets off a chain reaction in that way. But you know what also happened to our Catholic brothers and sisters? You know, how did they respond to the Reformation? So it was a great unit that I got to do. We watched a little bit of the Luther movie. We got to do some experiential activities about, you know, the sale of indulgences and some of those things to help the kids really visualize and understand, you know, why Luther was so passionate about these changes.
Did anybody try to, like, burn their hand in a fire like they do in the movie?
No. Thankfully. We don't have Bunsen burners on the social studies floor.
That's probably a good idea not to have those in there.
Right.
I think it was about probably close to 10 years ago. I think PBS did a special on, like, the most influential people. And one year, the person that they had chosen for that was Johann Gutenberg.
And yes.
Because they impacted, you know, because what he did impacted so many generations, all of future, you know, all of the future basically after him.
Yeah, and Gutenberg definitely made an appearance in my unit, because that, again, is that bigger world history perspective. It was just so neat, and we made parallels, again, of course, with the kids to, you know, things that are similar in modern times and calls for reform in modern days and the effects of those calls for reform. So definitely got to plant a lot of seeds with kids by taking time to do that with them.
And challenging them to think critically, to think outside their own little world.
Yes.
Challenging them to look at history, you know, from another perspective. Well, on one hand, it's unfortunate that you're not in the classroom teaching students, but it is great that you are now mentoring other teachers so that they can do the great work that you've been doing, that they can be mentored by someone who's taught so well. So we're thankful for that. And Amy, we're really thankful for your time today. I know that you had to give up some of your lunchtime to be with us today. And we really hope that we wish you well. And I hope that everything goes well in the coming months ahead here as you go back to mentoring teachers today.
Well, thank you very much. It was really, truly my pleasure. I always enjoy getting to talk to you.
Same here. Always enjoy talking with you. And I'm sure we'll have you on Faith and Family again in the future.
I hope so.
Thanks.
Okay.
Coming up on Faith and Family next time, tomorrow, we'll continue talking with on choices in education. We'll talk with St. Paul Lutheran High School in Concordia, Missouri, and residential high school as an option. So stick around for that tomorrow. And coming up next, Moments of Assurance right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.